sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? I am Sean Sears, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And then, of course, we are partners with Cubs Insider. Head to CubsInsider.com to read about Chris Bryant, who wants to stay in Chicago, and share some other details about COVID that we'll talk about here in the first segment, as well as some details leaking about the Cubs' schedule as MLB is prepared to release the full MLB schedule reportedly later today around 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard. So that and more can be found at CubsInsider.com, official partner of Locked On Cubs. But on today's episode, we are talking about, obviously this weekend, we saw some kind of Cubs baseball. There was an inter-squad game that happened on Saturday on the 4th of July. But we also saw from this weekend a pretty high amount of COVID cases, as it feels like more and more high-profile cases are popping up throughout the league. So we'll touch on that in the first segment and then hit on a couple quick news bolts here in the second segment of Locked On Cubs. You can get Locked On Cubs on whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe, leave a five-star review. And then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. So let's jump into the first segment. As we talked about this weekend, it has become more and more clear that the testing that MLB promised hasn't quite gone according to plan. And the MLB hasn't come out and said anything like this, but it definitely kind of feels like, and this is just my opinion, it definitely kind of feels like MLB took the weekend off for the holiday and came back thinking, oh, I guess we need to do a little bit of work. So as we've heard, COVID cases have kind of popped out throughout this week, and we saw a lot more come through this weekend, but reportedly there is a delay in the testing, as we're seeing teams like the Nationals and the Astros, as well as like the A's and the Rockies and Rangers and whatnot, are all waiting for tests to come through. The Cubs talked about it this weekend, particularly Chris Bryant coming out here earlier today and mentioning that the testing seems relatively delayed. Bryant talked about that him and Albert Almora both got tested on Tuesday and then did not get tested again until Sunday. The agreement that the players came to was that testing would be done every other day. So Chris should have been tested again Thursday, tested again Saturday, and probably tested again today. But that is not happening. And on top of that, the testing is taking a lot longer than MLB anticipated. So a lot of teams are canceling workouts because they don't know who's sick and who's not. And the way they need to effectively control the situation as best as they can, they need to know pretty much right away, hey, is it safe to test? Is it safe to practice? And if they aren't getting these tests in a timely manner, they could be affecting more and more people. So it's not going super well. And David Ross said in a tweet talking to the media, saying that, you know, when I've got players coming to me saying, having questions about the testing, saying it's not happening as well as they should and they're concerned, that's a giant red flag for me. And yeah, it should be, because this is not good. But Chris Bryant talking today mentioned that, I don't want to be insensitive to the people who haven't been able to get tests or have been in situations like that, but as the country gets access to more of those, I think it's appropriate to talk about our situation here. What we agreed to was testing every other day. We have had guys who have shown up on Sunday and haven't gotten tested again until 7 days later. And then you don't get the results for 2 days either, so that's 9 days without knowing. I think we really want this, if we want this to succeed, we're going to have to figure that out. I wanted to play this year because I felt that I would be safe and I would be comfortable. Honestly, I don't feel that way, which is why I'm trying to keep distance from everyone, wear my mask just so I can get this going. I think if we want it to happen, if we want this to go smoothly, because this is the easy part, really, when you get into the season and you're traveling, you're in an airplane, you're in a hotel, you're getting room service, guys, who knows what people are doing, especially on the other teams, too. You got to rely on everybody in this whole thing. If you can't nail the easy part down, which is right now, just our players, we got a big hill to climb. So what he's saying is, if we can't even figure out how to properly test and start this process in an effective manner, you know, how can we rely on anything else here? So obviously that sparked the concern that Chris Bryant might opt out in the season. And now he has said that he's not necessarily thinking of something like that. But obviously this is a concern. If they can't properly test, that kind of throws everything else out the window. So they need to figure this out. And Ross said he was assured by Major League Baseball that despite some of the shortcomings that they're dealing with right now, they are planning on trying to fix this and get this become a situation that isn't quite as big of an issue as it is right now. That being said, it's already kind of happened. Now, there were some good things that came out of Chris Bryant talking. You know, he didn't really want to talk about extensions just because he feels like with everything else going on, that isn't quite appropriate to mention, but he did say that he wants to spend the rest of his career in Chicago. He says he wants to play in a place where he feels appreciated, and he certainly has felt that way in his time in Chicago. So that was great to hear. Obviously, he loves the city. He loves the fans. He's never not said that, so that was good. And also, he did talk about how he was asked about his son and how Kyler, his newborn son, came out kind of a chunkster, is his description, but has kind of gotten lean and lanky, kind of like Chris is now. So I thought it was cute to hear Chris talk about, you know, being a dad. But yeah, this isn't good. And this is your star player, Chris Bryant, talking about having concerns in a pandemic. He also talked about the trade deadline. He said, I would like it not to be a concern. I would like to think I wouldn't be shipped out in the middle of a pandemic. Keyword, I would like to think. I would like to, you know, not be traded, but it's not up to me. He knows that, and I can't imagine there's going to be many trades that happen, at least high profile trades like a guy like Chris Bryant. So yeah, things are not going super well right now for baseball, as they cannot seem to figure out the testing, as well as seeing quite a few players coming out and testing positive. And Jason Hayward had a comment about this, saying, you know, we knew coming into this people were, you know, some of us being the Cubs, we're going to test positive. And we've seen that. You know, there were some staffers that did test positive. Obviously, Tommy Hotovy has been pretty vocal about him having COVID and how rough that was. Freddie Freeman from the Braves is a guy that obviously Jason Hayward and David Ross were teammates with in their time in Atlanta, checking in on Freddie. But that's a big name. That's one of the better players in baseball that's gone down with COVID, and sounds like he's battling with that. Shortly after that was announced, his teammate Nick Markakis opted out on the season. We've seen David Price opt out now. Some big names deciding they don't want to play baseball this year. It's hard to blame them. You look at the Padres, are another team that are really starting to mull over what's going on and are still waiting on some test results too. So this is a scary situation, and not something that I think the players would have agreed to had they been expecting something like this. But I mean, I saw someone quote tweet something from Chris Bryant saying, are you new here? Is this your first year with Major League Baseball? Yeah, that's kind of, unfortunately, what I was worried about. They hadn't been able to nail really anything at all in terms of, like, you know, this them trying to figure out a season, these deals that leaked in the middle of it. We'll talk about some of that in the second segment as well, with Rizzo sharing some of his thoughts on the situation. But overall, this is something that needs to be fixed. Shifting gears here a little bit, we have seen some workouts now. Obviously, we're seeing the players work out, field. They had an interleague game or inter-squad game on Saturday. There was a report coming out that the Cubs are supposedly expected to open the season at home against the Brewers, which is good. And I've seen some other reports, too, that the Cubs are supposedly finishing the season against the White Sox, which is really cool, especially in a shortened season. Either team could decide if the other one makes the playoffs, or they both could be competing, or they both could not. Who knows? But both teams are expected to be good this year, at least pretty good. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited to see what this schedule looks like. So hopefully we can get a schedule where baseball can figure this out. But you knew no matter what, people were going to test positive for COVID. There's just too many people involved in the sport for it not to happen. Now we have to kind of see how baseball responds to that, because that was kind of the big question leading up to this. What happens when someone essential to your team does get COVID? We're seeing that now with Atlanta, who's likely to probably start the season, maybe without Freddie Freeman and potentially more pieces. So we'll have to see, but if more and more players opt out, we could see the season put on, you know, on hold or potentially not come back at all. Because with the way things are slated right now, you're talking about fitting 60 games in 66 days. And, you know, the season's going, whether these guys are ready or not, you're going to have to figure this whole jumble of a season out. It's going to be an unprecedented baseball season. And I think that's probably even understating the whole situation. So we'll try and keep you updated here as best as we can, but really, baseball's going to have to find a way to make this much more safe and a much more streamlined process, because right now what they promised the players isn't quite happening. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and why wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brands his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and access to AutoRock.com at home in your pocket. AutoRock.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to AutoRock.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake pads to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in an easy few clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for the professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to autorock.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so you know who sent you. It's us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, here in the second segment, Tommy Hodovy is trying to ramp up his relievers to be able to throw up to three-inning workloads, meaning that he wants, I think he said about four players he wants to be able to go multiple innings. So he's planning on trying to get at least four relievers to that point. And that's a big deal to him. Obviously, he's looking at guys like Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks who could go probably six innings, and then you maybe see an inning or reliever to go the final three innings or something along the lines of that. So to try and limit bullpen usage. So we're going to see less matchups and more probably, obviously, even with the three inning rule, this was going to change a little bit, but we're going to see bullpen guys kind of going out there who are expected to throw maybe a couple innings more so than just, you know, matchups as it is how long they can go. So guys like Alec Mills could be seen as a three inning kind of closer sort of guy. And that's an interesting possibility. So, the good news is it does sound like all the pitchers, at least, that arrived to camp are in pretty good shape. Like, I know Hodovy keeps mentioning how excited he is with Lester's progress and how ready a lot of these guys showed up to be a part of the camp here. So he did hint at the idea that it sounds like Tyler Chatwood should be the fourth starter in this rotation. So taking a look at those options, I actually wrote an article from FanSided last week kind of going through the four players, at least in my head, who probably have the best chance of filling into that spot. Obviously, Alec Mills is probably the guy that's going to get the nod to begin with, to be that fifth starter in the rotation. But we're going to probably see a heavy mix of guys like Jarrell Cotton, maybe Adbert Elsley, who had a really strong debut last year with the Cubs in his first two starts and then kind of lost control and walked guys and gave up home runs. So got sent back down to the minors. He did pitch a little bit in spring training this year, and the numbers aren't so great. Jarrell Cotton is a guy that has experience as a starter and a reliever, has worked himself out of the bullpen. He's got a really good changeup, and that makes it interesting because he can use it against left-handed hitters, and they have a really hard time against it. But he's another guy that's just got a lot of pitches to work with, so he's a fun dude. He's a guy that hasn't truly pitched in baseball since 2017, though. But when he did pitch in 2016 for the A's in a limited sample size, he did look really good. He was a former top prospect for them. There's still potential with this guy, 28 years old, finally healthy. He's an option. And then the last guy's Colin Rea, a guy who doesn't necessarily blow you away with numbers, but has consistently gone five plus innings. I think he only managed to not go five innings, I think, three times last year in Iowa, and that was across 26 starts. Very dependable. Definitely a guy that Hodovy's probably looking at and saying, hey, it would be awesome if we could get this guy to go three innings at the end of a game, because he always seems to find ways to battle. And that was kind of hit the big disparity between Alzolay and Rea, who were the two best pitchers at Iowa last year. Alzolay has elite stuff, but can't seem to navigate through games when he doesn't have his best stuff, whereas Colin Rea is going to do no matter what, you know, is going out on the mound with his stuff, is going to find a way to get to five innings and limit the damage through those five innings. So, interesting guys. It's nice to have had the Cubs have a little more options than just like hoping that a guy like Drew Smyly comes up and figures things out, or Kendall Graverman, like guys who truly do not pitch. I mean, they do have a guy like that similarly as Andrell Cotton, but obviously they've got Alec Mills. They have a guy like Colin Rea. They have a guy with elite stuff in Alzolay. They've got pieces they can play with. And I guess technically you've got a guy like Braylon Marquez on the South Bend squad. It's probably really unlikely he makes it up to the Cubs roster at all this year, more so on that roster for developmental reasons. Same with a guy like Brennan Davis, but he's there because the Cubs at the very least feel like, if worse comes to worse and they had to pitch him, he could be someone that does provide something they're lacking. So there's options, but those are probably the four, with Mills probably sliding into that fifth spot. And then you look at Cotton, Alzolay, and Rea, especially early on in the year, they'll probably get some looks, whether that's starting, whether that's coming in the fourth or fifth inning, you know, we'll see. And then finally, to wrap up the show, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about Anthony Rizzo's comments. He dropped this little kind of tidbit on the first day the Cubs were reporting to spring training, or I guess summer camp, however you want to call it, at Wrigley Field on July 3rd, talking about how he said it was flat out embarrassing for me to be searching Twitter and see updates referring to the labor negotiations that baseball, the Players Association, were trying to go through to put together the season this past few months, saying these leaks on the major league side seem like there's leaks whenever we send proposals, to the point where it kind of turned into a joke with a media battle. And obviously Rizzo acknowledged that negotiations could have gone better, especially when all this is happening in the middle of a pandemic, but he was just frustrated that the bickering was made public. He said, when you're going through a pandemic like this and you have billionaires fighting with millionaires, it's never a good look. But it's when all said and done, and when baseball's on the field, we play with emotion like we know we know how to, and that's how we're going to capture a new fan base during this tough time. And I thought that last part was key. You're talking about, and while it would have been a much better situation had baseball been playing, you know, like Rizzo talked about, the games could have been playing. Their first game of the season was slated to be this 4th of July weekend, this Saturday, actually, this past Saturday. Now we're talking about, obviously, three more weeks before that even happens. But the season, it's given baseball a huge opportunity to maybe draw fans in that have never quite paid attention. And things are going to be a lot more interesting, a lot more intense. Games mean significantly more. You know, there's going to be a lot more drama to the season a lot quicker. It's not going to be October when baseball really starts to mean something. We're going to see it immediately a month into the season with the trade deadline comes out. It's going to be cool. And I think you are going to draw in some new fans. And obviously, you can't quite bring those fans into Wrigley Field, at least not yet. It does sound like the rooftops might be available for Cubs games, and those tickets will probably go on sale shortly after the schedule is released. But this is an opportunity to bring in some new blood to the game, and hopefully some young fans. Baseball needs it. The average fan age is like in between 35 to 45 years old. Whereas like most sports are somewhere between like 29 to 35 and younger, especially the NBA gears a lot more towards younger players or younger fans. Let's hope that this season can draw in some new fans, some new diehards. We need it. Baseball needs it. The Cubs definitely need it. It would be great to see that happen. If that was what came out of this as a new section of fans that have come and start to appreciate the game, that would be awesome. But we'll have to see if we get a season. So That will do it on today's episode of Locked On Cubs. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Cubs and whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you're listening to your podcast, make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review. And after this podcast is finished, make sure you tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. With that, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. I will be writing more and more as the season goes on now. I've already put out a couple articles last week, some articles coming this week. Now that we have stuff to talk about, I can actually write and talk about baseball, which is nice. So check that out there. But we appreciate you guys sticking around. We'll probably stick to 3 episodes again this week. And as the season kind of builds up, we'll see if we do get a season and what that's going to look like. But the schedule coming out, we'll probably put out a podcast tomorrow as well. Talking about that schedule, I'll try and see if I can get Ryan to come on and kind of discuss it from there. But stick around for more episodes of Locked On Cubs. I appreciate the support, guys. I can't say this enough. It has been awesome seeing how many people are tuning in still, even amid, you know, no news, pandemic, a lot of just labor BS. It's awesome to see you guys coming in and just wanted to hear more about the Cubs. So I appreciate it. And if there's any questions you have or anything I don't address on a podcast, you feel free to DM me on Twitter, shoot us an email at lockedoncubs@gmail.com. I'm happy to talk baseball. So with that, you guys enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Cubs.